The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I still think he's a little bit limited in far as I think Cliff's doing a good job of protecting him, making sure that they got him for the season. And I think he's still a little inhibited by the rib injury a little bit. You know, I see him on the sidelines. I see him wincing a little bit. I think that affects the play calling. They're not calling as many of the cool zone reads and the counters with the quarterback able to pull it and people coming around and some of that things. They call it a quarterback draw on one play, and I think they had one other zone read where he just kind of went to the ground. So I think his use of his legs is limited right now, which affects their running game in general. But overall, I think Jaden still played pretty good. I thought he had great poise. He got hit hard a couple times and stood in the pocket and still saw the field and made some big-time throws.
That was Jay Gruden, as heard just a bit ago, right here on Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight. Don't Forget About comes your way in a half hour as we try to put a bow on a one-point loss to the Steelers. We will not have nearly as much time for the autopsy this week as we normally do. We are on to Philadelphia tomorrow. We're literally going to be in Philadelphia soon thereafter. Mm-hmm. We're going there for the game as a show on Thursday Night Football. Should be a very, very entertaining matchup with first place in the division at stake. You just heard Toby talking about the injury report. Jaden Daniels is not on the injury report. Jay Gruden saying, I think there's still something bothering him as far as that rib goes. We'll get into that in a second. Marshawn Lattimore would not have practiced. Seibert would not have practiced. But they were able to list Wiley and Cornelius Lucas as limited, meaning there's some progress being made for the two tackles.
I get the sense that today was a walkthrough as well. So we'll really know more, I think, if they actually ramp it up a little bit here tomorrow.
Yes, but they have to list, because of the Thursday night game, this injury report is based on if you practiced, how would it have gone for those players? Now, obviously, teams can and do lie, I'm sure, but that's what the idea is.
Yes.
Whether it was a walkthrough or not, you have to act like this was your Wednesday practice and list what you think a guy would have been able to do.
Gotcha. So just meaning we don't know if, you know, Marshawn Lattimore could sprint or not, right?
Right.
Like he didn't do and nobody really did anything that physical today because it was a walkthrough.
What they're saying is if this was a Wednesday practice ahead of a Sunday game today, Lattimore would not have practiced. Is what they're saying,
yeah.
Which is not ideal. I mean, that's not a good sign.
No, they need him ASAP, you know, with this matchup. You make the trade for this matchup in mind.
This is a little bit early to have this conversation, but I'm throwing it out there. How long could the hamstring linger before it becomes like a, man, that was a bummer? Because he's controllable for the next couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea when they got him was obviously that he's going to be a huge help. I think as long as they make the playoffs and he plays in the playoffs, then it's a win because you have him for this postseason and the next two, hopefully. But I was kind of thinking it'd be great to have him against the Steelers. My point all along was you don't really need him against Pittsburgh as much as you need him against Philly with their wide receivers, and I still feel that way. But if he misses both of those two games, that is officially a letdown after the trade deadline that you're waiting essentially three games to get him on the field.
Yeah, and now because of the timing. If it was a Sunday game against Philadelphia, would it be different? I don't know. It's not crazy that somebody with a hamstring issue isn't, you know, totally 100% fine to play an NFL football game 72 hours later. You know, like, I get that. That makes sense to me. It's just, you know, it could be bad luck, but I'm with you. It'll feel like kind of a letdown. I mean, to me, if now we're doing the same dance next week after, you know, Thursday Night Football, then a rest, and if we're still doing the limited DNP, you know, we'll see on Friday, then maybe on a walkthrough on Sunday morning, we'll give it a go against Dallas the following week. Now I'm in, what the hell's going on? Bummer territory here, right? Where you're really deprived of the guy that I think is going to be instrumental in transforming this defense in a couple of divisional games. That'll really feel empty. It's going to be a bummer if you can't play on Thursday, but it's not crazy to me.
G&D on the Fan. What did you make of Jay Gruden saying he thinks that Jaden Daniels is still bothered by the rib injury and that it's affecting play calling and it sounds like, to some extent, his performance?
I 100% agree. So I wouldn't necessarily call it an excuse or call it a you know, it's one of those like, okay, well, yeah, well, you still got this. You could see it on the sideline. They're giving him heat wraps around his ribs. It's not around his ankle. It's not around his thigh. It's not around a different bump or bruise or something that inevitably is going to happen to an NFL player. It's that area. They are doing that. They're giving him treatment during games. There was a Jay referenced it. There was one, it was a keeper, it was a draw or something like that, where he had looked like he had no interest in doing any of the Jaden Daniels NFL football things. We're trying to make someone miss or outrunning somebody. The play got discovered, and there was no mystery. He just, that's it, I'm out, just went down right away.
Good, by the way.
Oh, I'm not criticizing. I'm just simply saying that was, you know, you'd expect him to either try to take it outside, outrun somebody. He's like, I want out. I want no part of this. Let's live to fight another day, which is maturity and good. But I don't know that he does that if it's not maybe a little bit sensitive or he's favoring it a little bit.
So it goes without saying that there's obviously something that is still ailing, or else there would be no treatment, to your point. There'd be no wrapping it. There'd be no taking care of it, which we see visibly on the sideline. So something is a bit amiss. But I stop short of it is affecting his playing and or what they're calling. I disagree with that a little bit. I shouldn't say what they're calling. I'm sure that's the case because they were calling a lot more design runs and he was just pulling the ball down and scrambling. Maybe it's affecting that part of his game some too, his own decision making on when to run or not, which I don't have a big problem with.
Me neither.
Now, I do think, and we disagreed on this all off season and throughout the season so far, I do think he needs to run for him to be at the peak of his powers. I think it makes their running game better. It makes B-Rob and Eckler and everybody else better when there's a threat that he's running. In a game like yesterday where he's not a threat to run, you don't have to respect him, so you basically just key in on Eckler, and that's where those TFLs were coming from on some of those read options. So that's a real thing. I also think that the reason he went number two overall is not because of solely Jaden Daniels the passer. It's because of Jaden Daniels, football player and playmaker, who ran for 88, 44, 47, 82, 50, 52 yards in games so far this season. And so when you get 5 yards from him, a season low against the Steelers, weirdly, you have your worst offensive performance. That all said, he did not look bothered against the Bears, really, which was right after the injury. The whole week led up to that Chicago game. That was you and I out in Manassas. Is he going to play? Isn't he going to play? What's going to happen? Are they going to start Mariota? He went out and before the Hail Mary, because he threw for a career-high 326 in that game, but 50 of that was on the Hail Mary. You know, that's still a 275-yard performance where he was pretty accurate in that game. He had plenty of zip. You know, yesterday I thought he had a ton of velocity. If anything, my one knock on him as a passer yesterday was too many balls were kind of flat and hot. He didn't throw with the same anticipation or not even that, like touch. The same, you know, when he had a guy, he didn't kind of ball placement wasn't there like it normally is for him. Thought his accuracy was a hair off, which, by the way, happens sometimes. You're not going to play every game like an MVP. Jared Goff was number three in MVP candidacy going into last night, got picked off 5 times. Daniels has 2 all year. And I know 2 of those, you could say, as Jay Gruden did, maybe weren't like true terrible passes.
3 were.
But he also had a pass that could have and should have been picked off that wasn't.
Yeah.
So that, I guess, now could have been 4 bad ones or whatever. So I guess my point is, I think we're working back from the result of the Steelers played him really well, did a lot of things well, and now we're saying that's why. Did you, during the Giants game, when he was accurate, 2 touchdowns, no picks, you know, ran, by the way, twice as much for 7 times as many yards, did you think he was hurt then? Like, it just started hurting him more yesterday? There's a little truth in both columns. Yeah, he's getting treatment, he's not 100%. But they wouldn't have played him. We're talking about, how many days ago? two full weeks ago now against the Bears, they'll play him, and now a couple weeks later, they're still calling plays differently. I don't quite think that's true. I think the Steelers had a really good plan and did some really good things against
them. Yeah, I think both are true. I think the Steelers are good. I think they have a good plan, and I think that they use their bye week very well, as they've been wont to do over Mike Tomlin's entire tenure there, where they come out of the bye week with an excellent plan, great execution, and you know, that's a good team for a reason. They don't just sort of sleepwalk into it. I also think he's – limited is not the right word. I think he's affected. And it just – the whether it's a burst thing, whether it's stepping into certain things, whether it's you, when you're injured or you're hurt or you're banged up, whatever it is, and again, you can go back through a billion and one examples, there are – you compensate in certain ways. So maybe you could still throw as hard. Maybe you could still got the velocity, but now maybe you're sacrificing a grain of accuracy because you have to effort a little bit more, kind of work around an injury or something like that. Instead of being able to, I'm just making this up, but let's say it's on your left side. So normally when you step through and follow through, you get a little twinge of pain. So you don't really follow through. You spin off kind of, and then that, you know, the ball sails on you. There's a million different things that can happen. In, you know, you see this in baseball with a pitcher, or see with an infielder. Ryan Zimmerman always comes to mind for this, where the injury wasn't a shoulder. It was something else that led to the shoulder because he was compensating for it. So I do think there's something where he's not 100%. It's now in the manageable NFL injury thing. Like before,
well,
he's
not even on the injury report.
I know.
So it's clearly manageable.
Yeah. So before, you know, my point, when he got hurt against Carolina, my point was this is not the regular bump and bruise that NFL players experience, which, you know, you just deal with and it sucks and it's hard and, you know, you take your pain meds and you do everything you possibly can to get back on the field. This required medical attention, was more severe than that. I now think this is in nagging bump and bruise, pain in the butt. Right. I have to manage it territory. But to say it's a non-zero factor, I don't agree. I'm not saying you are. But it's more than zero and it's less than the reason why he threw an incomplete pass. There's a scale there.
The Bears game, it barely was a story. It was not really a factor. Nothing about that game looked different at all than the entire season. The Giants game, same thing. This week now we're going, you know, that rib might not be quite right after those other two performances that were a lot better than this one. And by the way, it's not like the guy played badly. If more catches got made on balls that were catchable to his receivers, it's a winning performance against an elite defense, and the team is 8-2 at this point. But by the standard he's set now, watching him week in and week out, of him being MVP caliber and elite, it was not there either. What did you guys think about Jaden Daniels yesterday, and is his rib a factor as he had a rare performance where he was a tick off throwing the football? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.